thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35. This is talking about Jesus and Mary and Joseph. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him, that is the baby Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So this is about day 40. Jesus is 40 days old. The days of purification, they were ended as prescribed by the Jewish law. Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus up to Jerusalem to consecrate him to God, as was a custom and requirement of the law. It wasn't far from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, so it wouldn't have been an onerous journey for the young family. The temple where they were taking him was the center of Jewish religious life. At special feast times, Jews from the whole known world crowded into Jerusalem to come to the Holy Temple. Even in ordinary days, it was probably always a very busy place. People coming and going, offering sacrifices, praying to God, constantly seeking God in prayer. Priests coming and going, doing their duty in the temple. So for a young couple coming into the temple court with a baby in their arms to give an offering for the purification and to consecrate their baby to God, that wouldn't have drawn any particular attention. There was nothing in Mary and Joseph's dress to draw attention to them. They were poor, as can be seen by the offering they were bringing there, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. But to two people in the temple courts, this little family were immediately the center of attention. Firstly, and the only one we're going to look at tonight, Simeon. Now, he was probably, but not necessarily, an elderly man. He lived in Jerusalem. He was righteous. He was devout. And God had given him a very specific promise. "Simeon, you will not die until you have seen my Messiah." until you've seen the Christ, the deliverer. Now, we've no indication in the Bible how long Simeon had been holding on to that promise. It might have been only a short time, or it might have been for many years. That's not the point. The point of this, Simeon was eagerly awaiting the fulfillment of this promise. He was watching and waiting eagerly for God to fulfill his word. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he was listening for the directing of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to have a promise from God. It is entirely another thing to watch eagerly in anticipation for that promise to be fulfilled. Simeon was not complacent. He was actively, if you like, he was on his tiptoes, waiting for God's fulfillment. And so, when the scripture says the Spirit moved him, or the Spirit prompted him to go to the temple, he was immediately ready for action to go there to see what God was doing. He knew when the Spirit prompted him to go to the temple, he knew God's going to do something and I don't want to miss it. What has God promised you? What has God promised you? Are you actively waiting, actively watching every day for a sign that the promise that God has given you is going to be fulfilled, whether it comes quickly or whether you have to wait years for it? Are you on your tiptoes spiritually waiting on the fulfillment of the promise? Simeon lived in Jerusalem, and he was moved or prompted by the Spirit to go to the temple courts. Now, we don't know how that happened. Maybe it was just a persistent thought, wouldn't go away. Maybe it was a forceful thought that just came to him. We don't know. But whatever form it took, he obeyed quickly. He had learned over the years to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And now he was in the temple courts, standing in the temple courts, just watching, waiting on God fulfilling the promise. Mary and Joseph came in, probably Mary carrying Jesus. They didn't know what Simeon had been promised. They didn't run up to Simeon and say, "Here's the baby, here's the Messiah that you've been waiting on." They didn't know that. They just came to the temple to fulfill their duty for the newborn baby. Simeon was there, attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit, prompting, waiting for the next prompting of the Spirit. This is a very exciting and challenging part of the Christian life and experience. If you are a believer, you have the privilege of the Holy Spirit being resident in your heart. And sometimes we're as spiritually deaf as a rock, as stones. Let us learn how to be open, listening for those prompting of the Spirit in our hearts and our minds, and then to act on those promptings. The Spirit doesn't usually shout at us. Did you know that? He whispers gently into our ear, into our heart. He sometimes comes with a persistent thought. It just won't go away. He sometimes comes with a forceful thought that just comes out of the blue. If you're not attuned to him, you can easily dismiss that. You can dismiss it. But the more you learn to be attuned to the Spirit, the more you can discern, that's the Spirit speaking to me. Sometimes there's just a sense in our hearts. You could not explain it to another human being what that sense is, but you know that he's speaking to you. to learn to listen to him, to discern his voice, to be sensitive to what he's saying, and to be obedient to his prompting. Maybe God has given you a promise about somebody in your family being saved, and you're struggling to hold on to that promise. And then one day, you get an opportunity for a little conversation. Nothing very remarkable. Maybe if somebody else listened to it, they wouldn't think it was of any consequence. But if you are waiting on your tiptoes for God to fulfill his promise, you will see any, I see some smiles of recognition here, any and every little thing that other people might dismiss as nothing, if you are sensitive to the Spirit, you will see that there's a sign that God is working. There is a sign that God is doing something. Simeon was on high alert. That's what we need to be on, for the prompting of the Spirit. He knew he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Christ. But he didn't know, would the Christ, the Messiah, be an adult? He didn't know that. Or will the Christ be a baby? He didn't know that. He was watching. He was waiting. He's in the temple. There's a constant stream of people probably coming and going. Then a young couple come in, an ordinary young couple, just plain clothes, with their baby, with their sacrifice. And Simeon, the prompting of the Spirit, there's the Christ. There is Christ. There's the Messiah. On any given day, there might have been dozens of parents, I don't know, presenting the firstborn. But God highlighted this one couple, Mary and Joseph, in particular to Simeon. They looked so ordinary to many people, but they weren't ordinary. The baby in their arms wasn't ordinary. This was God's promise. God's promise in fulfillment. Friends, I feel so strongly this evening that God wants me to highlight this. Learn to see things through God's eyes. Learn to observe what other people pass over as of no consequence. Learn to look for what other people think are just coincidences and just incidental detail and little things that aren't important. And learn to listen to what the Spirit's saying and what he's pointing out in your own heart. This afternoon, I was just praying myself about something God has been placing into my heart, a vision for something. And I'm just praying and saying, God, open my eyes. Make me sensitive to every sign that comes along to confirm that word in my own heart. But I feel as earlier in the week when I was preparing that this is also for people here. Be sensitive. Don't dismiss little things. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Perceive what God is doing by his Holy Spirit. Oh, do you know what faith is? Faith is being eyes wide open to what other people are blind to. I mean, when the thing comes to fruition, you don't need faith. Faith is being able to see it when nobody else can. Being open to the Spirit. Can you imagine how Simeon felt? He saw Mary and Joseph and the baby in the arms. This is not a time to hold back. He just went right over to them and he took the baby. You know, as you wouldn't do these days. Just took the baby, the Spirit prompted him. And he immediately was praising God. And he's saying, Lord, I'm ready to die now. I am ready to die. Take me home. My eyes have seen your salvation. Oh, wonderful. That's why he was given the name Jesus. Because he is salvation. Another confirmation to Mary in particular. This baby is indeed the Saviour prepared and sent by God. But then Simeon said something that might have been a big surprise to Mary and Joseph. He said Jesus was a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, of course, right at the beginning, when God gave the promise to Abraham, he said, Abraham, through your seed, all the nations, the whole world will be blessed. Some of the prophets also spoke about this blessing to the world, to the nations, to the Gentiles, particularly Isaiah. But somehow over the years, Jewish pride, their kind of insular focus, nationalism, oppression by their enemies, led many Jews to forget about these promises. And their emphasis was on a Messiah exclusively for Israel. A Messiah who would physically deliver them from their enemies. But God was pointing out through Simeon, right at the beginning of Jesus' life, that he wasn't primarily a physical savior to deliver a physical nation from her physical enemies. He had come to seek and to save the lost of the world. He came for everybody. Hallelujah. Because we are mostly, probably all Gentiles. So hallelujah indeed. To bring spiritual salvation for everyone whose sin has separated them from God. He is the light shining in the darkness. Now, when Mary and Joseph heard all of this from Simeon, said they marveled. In the Greek, not that I know that much Greek, I just know enough, but I know what the commentators say. It means they kept on marveling. They're marveling and they're marveling again at what Simeon said about Jesus. They knew who he was. I mean, the angel Gabriel told Mary, this is the Son of the Most High God. He shall sit on his father David's throne. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. When the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, he told him who he was. But here's another godly man bringing more confirmation and adding more insight into what his life would be. A fuller revelation of Jesus' life. The expansive nature, the universal nature of Jesus' life. There's nothing small and narrow about Jesus. The impact of Jesus. Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. Now, I know Bethlehem was Joseph's hometown, but he lived in Nazareth, a small, insignificant village. Small town or small villages in the first century, the people tended to just stay in their villages, a couple of hundred people. You maybe knew a couple of thousand people at the very outside. Your world was very limited. And here is Simeon talking about Jesus, a light to the Gentiles, not just to the nation of Israel. What Simeon was saying here was expanding the horizons about Jesus and what he would do. Are your horizons too limited? I think mine are, a lot of the time. I was just thinking today, some of you will know that Reinhard Bonnke, Christ for All Nations, died this weekend. Reinhard Bonnke, incredible man of God, mainly called to Africa. When he left Bible College, he went into London and he sought out the home where George Jeffreys lived, then a very old man who's the founder of the Elam Churches. George Jeffreys had an incredible ministry, but mainly confined to the British Isles and Ireland. And he went to George Jeffreys' home and he knocked the door and he just introduced himself straight out of Bible College and he said, you know, I'm Reinhard Bonnke and I'd love you to pray for me and I'd love you to ask God for like a double portion of your anointing. And George Jeffreys laid hands and prayed for Reinhard Bonnke. That man preached in gospel crusades, sometimes over 1 million people in one meeting. I mean, it's mind-boggling. His heart for the gospel was utterly incredible. Wonder on that day, did George Jeffreys have any inkling of who he was praying for, what God would do through his life? I mean, George Jeffreys was an amazing man of God. He touched these islands. But he laid hands and he prayed for Reinhard Bonnke as a young man. And he went into Africa and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to utter millions upon millions upon millions. When you think about what God's doing in the world today, what God's doing through you, possibly others, through our church, is our vision too limited? Could God use you? Could God use our fellowship here in Ballymoney in ways far beyond what we could imagine on our small horizon? I believe he can. Do you know one of the main reasons why I believe he can? I feel a bit emotional about this. I hear so many churches and there's so much infighting. See this church, the unity of the Spirit is incredible. And I often say this, we don't have to agree about everything. The fundamental doctrines are set and we have to agree on those, but there are so many smaller issues that people fight about and fall out about and leave churches about. And they just actually don't matter that much in the bigger scheme of things. They just don't. We don't have to agree about everything. But I went home last night and I was boasting to somebody on the phone about what goes on here. And just saying about the unity and people, all diverse personalities and giftings, pulling together as a team. This is a church to me. Without superstars. Right from the leaders, nobody is sticking their hand up and saying, I'm something great. I feel that we're in a church, we're on a level with each other. We're just saying, whatever your gift is, let your gift loose in this place and beyond this place. Because I feel there's a lack of that proud, arrogant, and divisive spirit, a lack of that here. And there's a unity in the Spirit. I feel we are well placed to expand our borders, to spread out and to seek God with greater heart and bigger, wider vision for what God wants to do among us and through us as individuals and as a church. Let's be open to the Spirit, folks. Let's listen to his voice. If you look throughout history, and the most recent revivals, notable revivals, they start generally in insignificant places and with insignificant people. You might just say, we're just from this wee town, or I live in this wee village, or something like that, or I'm just nobody. Good. That's who God likes to use. Because then you're not so likely to say, I'm somebody. You're likely to say, to God be the glory when he moves in power. Praise his name. Simeon blessed them. Oh, he blessed the family. And then his words took on this somber, ominous tone. Up to now, it was all good news. And then he said, this baby will cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. They would fall because they would refuse to accept Jesus is the Son of God. They would refuse to accept he was the Messiah, particularly the religious leaders. They were so focused on their own merits, keeping the law of God. Not understanding the law of God highlights how sinful we are. It doesn't actually justify us. We cannot be justified by the law. And then Jesus, he wasn't what they imagined. He spent too much time with sinners. Hope people start saying that about us. Yeah. Okay, we'll move quickly on with that one. He wasn't what they imagined. He overturned their deeply held man-made traditions. We'll not say too much about that either. But then, God's way of salvation. The Messiah, Mark rightly said, the Messiah going to the cross, suffering, dying. They turned their backs on him. They say, no, it cannot happen. He caused the falling of many because they refused to accept. But some did accept, and he caused their rising. Not only the rising now to be children of God, but with us rising on the last day to meet the Lord in the air. Friends, you can't remain neutral about Jesus. You can't. You either believe that he's the Saviour or you reject him. That's the two choices. Jesus polarizes opinion. Do you believe that he is the Saviour? And if you do, are you following him? Are you following him? It's not about saying, yes, I believe it's all true. That doesn't get you to heaven. You will be with those, if you're just saying it's that, but you're not putting your whole trust in him, you will be with those who will fall into hell on the last day. Friend, don't be there. Don't be there. Today, trust in him. Trust in him. He will be a sign. Simeon said that it's spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. He reveals our hearts. Jesus reveals our hearts. He shows what we're really thinking, because he challenges us. Come, leave your sin. Take up your cross. Follow me. That shows what's in your heart. If you do it, you're for him. If you don't, you're against him. Simple as that. And then he said to Mary, he said, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Looking forward to his cross. Reference to the crucifixion. Mary, at that stage, had no idea what that was about. But it was a warning to her. Be prepared for suffering. Be prepared to be grieved following Jesus. Jesus still divides. He still divides. When we believe in him, many will oppose us. Many will misunderstand it. People, if you're thinking on coming to Christ, you need to know that. You need to understand that. People will oppose you if you come to Christ, because he divides, as he's always divided people. But the joy, honestly, the joy of following Jesus. Again, I just go back to where I started this evening, right at the beginning. Blessed, happy is the person whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Happy is the man or woman whose sin the Lord does not count against him. It's not always easy. Carrying his cross is not always easy. But his joy is unspeakable. And on the final day, we will be raised up to be with him in glory. Friends, be encouraged tonight. And listen. Listen for the voice of the Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.